Dear friends in Christ, we come again to the topic of forgiveness. Certainly, we have all sinned not only against God, but against others. So what is our need? Our need is for forgiveness from God and from others. Forgiveness is a gift. But first of all, in general, what is a gift? The dictionary says a gift is something to show friendship, affection, support, etc. It's something that one person extends to another. Think about it like this. A gift comes from the heart of the giver in connection with the need of the receiver. From the heart of the giver in connection with the need of the receiver. Let me give you a couple examples. Think about a person, first of all, not on the topic of forgiveness, but just in general, somebody with a need. You have a person who is hungry. That is his need. So you take a person who has food, and he supports the person who is hungry by offering him food as a gift. Why is that food offered as a gift? It's offered not because the person who is hungry earned it, but because the person who is hungry needs it. Let me give you another example, going now to the topic of forgiveness. A person has sinned against you. What is that person in need of? He is in need of forgiveness. He doesn't deserve it, but yet he needs it. So you show friendship to him by offering him the gift of forgiveness. You know, all we can do is to offer things. We can offer food to people. Sometimes they're too proud to take it. We can offer forgiveness to people. Sometimes they don't want it. But we can't control whether they receive it or not, but it's important that we offer it. What is God doing? Christ has done a finished work on the cross. He's offering forgiveness to everyone. Have many people not yet received it? Probably so, but he's making the offer, though. God wants us to know it's important for us to make that offer of forgiveness to others as well. In this sermon, we're going to focus, first of all, on God's gift of forgiveness to us, and then on our gift of forgiveness to others. Like I said last week, it is so essential that we understand our need for God's forgiveness, and then we receive that forgiveness, because that is what enables us then to extend that same wonderful gift of forgiveness to others. First of all, God's gift of forgiveness to us. I put a few notes in the bulletin today. You can follow along there or simply listen. If you want to make a few notes, you could as well. With God's gift of forgiveness to us, I'd like to think of it as a package of blessings. I should have taken a box and wrapped it up and put a bow on it and brought it here today and set it right here just as a reminder that it is a package of blessings. It is a gift that God is giving to us. What are some of the primary contents of that package? The primary contents would be the full forgiveness of our sins, the gift of spiritual life, the gift of eternal life with God in heaven forever and ever. Those blessings come to us, as you know, not by what we have done, but they come to us by grace. The members of Bethlehem know that I've emphasized faith for a long time, but let's never forget that we are saved by grace through faith. Sometimes we talk about faith in such a way that faith seems to be something that we do. Some people will even teach that Christ has done this, and now it's your job to put your faith in him, as if we had that ability. We know that we don't. God says that apart from his work within us, we are blind, we are dead, we are enemies of the Almighty God. God has to do it all. Well, what is grace? Sometimes we talk about it this way, and we make a word out of each letter, so we come up with G-R-A-C-E, understanding that to be God's riches at Christ's expense. When we think about those eternal blessings that God has given, even though we cannot earn them and we can do nothing to deserve them, we have received them by grace through faith. If you think about grace like this, grace, in a sense, is God offering them because, not because we deserve them, but because Christ has fully paid for them. So God's riches at Christ's expense, he paid for them all. And then while we think about faith, well, that is God enabling us to receive those blessings. So God offers the blessings, but he also has to enable us to receive them. So God is doing both. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, it is because of him, that's a reference to God the Father, it is because of God the Father that you are in Christ Jesus. So he gets all the credit, he gets all the glory, and we can only rejoice in what he has done in our lives. Maybe these passages will help us understand this idea of grace a little bit better, this gift that God has given, and of course it is God's undeserved love and goodness which he is showering upon us. If we think we deserve it, we haven't gotten it. When we know we don't deserve it, when we admit that we are poor, miserable sinners, deserving of both temporal and eternal punishment, when we come to grips with that reality, then we see how wonderful it is what God has done for us in Christ. First of all, Romans 6:23, boy, it starts off with such terrible news, and then it goes on to such wonderful news. It says, for the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? That means that we have earned and we deserve physical death and eternal punishment. You know, when I think about that, I don't know how you think about it, but when I think about what I just said, I don't think I'm quite that bad. And that's a feeling I have. But when I take that feeling and I compare it to the Bible, there's a difference there. The Bible says one thing, my feelings say something else. What do you think I should go with? Should I go with how I feel? What did you say, Jim? Go with the Bible. Okay. So, boy, feelings can be a powerful thing, but God says whenever they do not agree with Scripture, hey, forget your feelings and go with the truth of God's Word. God wants us to know that, hey, we're in trouble. We have sinned and we have earned something terrible. But there's good news, though. But the free gift of God, it's a free gift. The free gift of God is eternal life. And how do we get that? In Christ Jesus our Lord. We deserve the worst. God wants us to know that. But God is offering us the very best, this wonderful gift, and it is received only in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's go on to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll take a look at just that beginning part of the chapter. Just so important that we see how bad the bad news is, and we deserve nothing good, and then we see God step in and God take action in Christ. It begins by saying, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. We were spiritually dead, and there was nothing we could do to please God in any way. There was nothing we could do to get connected to the blessings that God has for us. Picking up in verse 3, it says, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Think about that idea of being an object of wrath. Now, when we talk about having faith, we always say that our faith has an object. People just can't say, oh, I have faith, and that means they're going to heaven. Our faith is always in something. Our faith has an object. So when we talk about saving faith, the object of our saving faith is Jesus Christ, the perfect life he lived, and the sacrificial death that he died. So our faith is in him. When it talks here about us being objects of wrath, here we are as poor, miserable sinners. And here is the Almighty God with his wrath to pour out, and we are the objects upon which he should pour that wrath. That is what we deserve. But what does the Bible go on to say, though? Verse 4, but, you know, we talk sometimes here at Bethlehem about finding, you know, some of the biggest buts in the Bible. And this is one of them. And there are just so many of them. We could do a sermon series that would go on for years on the big buts in the Bible. But this is one of them, though. Think about how bad the bad news is. And then we come to this statement where it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. I think that's good when the Bible does these great contrasts. It wants us to know that everything is terrible and lost and hopeless, and then it goes completely the other direction. God wants us to see that. He doesn't want us to be on the fence or float around in the middle. He wants us to know that if it's up to us, boy, it is gloom and doom forever. But when God steps in, though, he overturns that entire thing, and we have all these blessings, and it's not because of anything to do with us. It's all because of Jesus Christ. So God takes two wonderful actions in order to get us his gift of forgiveness. First of all, God offers the gift of forgiveness. He does so through the finished work of Christ. And then God has to enable us by faith to be able to receive that gift of forgiveness. So God offers it, and then God enables us to receive it. I hope everyone here today has come to see by the Spirit through the Word that we desperately need what God is offering, and that God has enabled us to receive that precious gift. And I hope we know that that is the most important thing. Hey, food, clothing, shelter, important stuff. But if we have to pick here, let's know that the gift that God is giving with forgiveness, which includes also life and salvation, let's know that that is most important of all, and we have it in Jesus Christ. So upon having that gift now, what about us now extending forgiveness to others? Of course, when we think about that reality, we have to draw somewhat of a parallel between how God has extended it to us versus how we now extend it to others. My first question in this section is, should we wait to offer the gift of forgiveness until people are sorry? Is that what God did for us? Our sinful nature says, yes, I want to forgive him, but when he shows some remorse, then I will offer the gift. That's how we tend to think. But what did God do for us? Think about what it says in Romans chapter 5, where it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God wasn't waiting for us to get our act together. While we were yet sinners, that is when Christ took his action and died for us. In fact, offering the gift of forgiveness can lead a person to be sorry for his sins. And we kind of think, is it the chicken or the egg? And we tend to want to say, okay, when he's sorry, then I'll offer. But I want you to think about today that it is the offering that can lead a person to sorrow and then to finally receive the forgiveness that is being offered. That's how God worked toward us. In Romans chapter 2, it says, God's kindness leads you toward repentance. God's kindness leads you toward repentance. See, God is being kind to people even when they're not yet repentant. Think about the world. The vast, vast majority of the world is probably not connected right now to Jesus Christ as their Savior. But what is God doing? God is abundantly providing for all people throughout the world. He's being kind to them. He's loving them. He's giving them all kinds of blessings. And he wants that kindness to lead them to be repentant so that they ultimately receive that gift of forgiveness in Christ. We should act first. A key passage here is found in Mark chapter 11. And I had kind of a moment with my children when I was writing this sermon at home, and they're in their 20s now. And this is actually one of our Bible passages that we memorized as a family back when they were in elementary school. And I'm thinking, there's no way they remembered that passage. So I went in to where they were at there, and I said, do you remember such and such passage? And they're like, give us the first two words. So I did, and both of them rattled it right off. I was surprised. Boy, it's important to impress that word of God upon our children when they're younger. I wish I would have done more of that, but thank God we at least did a little bit of it. But notice what Jesus said. He said, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. He didn't say, wait until they're sorry and then extend it. He is saying, if anyone is holding anything against you, hey, forgive them. You take the first step, you forgive them. And even to think about it like this, when we forgive them, we're really offering the forgiveness. But it doesn't mean they've received it. Let me just touch on that for a moment. I think we can say this. This is kind of a new thought for me, and maybe these pastors are going to say something to me later and disagree with me. That's okay. But when we think about God's forgiveness coming from him to us, or us offering forgiveness to others, we offer the gift, but I don't think it's actually received until the person agrees that, yes, I have fallen into sin in that way, and yes, I am sorry for that sin. And it's upon them agreeing they are sinners and being sorry for the sin that they receive the forgiveness. We live in a world today where people want to blame everybody else. They might say, well, yeah, I did fall into that sin, but really, he made me do it. So people aren't taking responsibility. But when they take responsibility and they say, yes, I did it, and I know I shouldn't have done it, and I am sorry for it, it's then that they receive that gift of forgiveness from God. And it's also then that that gift of forgiveness is received even from us to them as we extend it to them. Maybe I need to think a little bit more on that, but I think it's always important that we extend that gift of forgiveness even as God has extended it to all people today. But then there's that receiving part that becomes important. And even this I'll say to people sometimes. When we think about the connection, if we could draw a line down like this, then a line over, and we have God, we have us, and we have others. Well, God is extending his forgiveness to us, and we receive it in Christ. We receive it through repentance, if you will, sorrow and faith, which God enables, and then we extend forgiveness to others who sin against us. Now, sometimes people get this idea, we're going to talk about this more in a future sermon on forgiveness, but sometimes we're like, hey, if I forgive him, he's getting away with it then. He did something terrible, and now he's getting away with it, but wait a minute, we have to complete the triangle. Even if we forgive that person, we have to complete this side of the triangle, because even though I've extended forgiveness to him, he's not forgiven, he's not getting away with it, he still has to deal with the Almighty God. But God is saying, you forgive others so that you can continue to receive my forgiveness. That's how we show that we are forgiven Christians, by extending forgiveness freely and fully to others, even when they don't deserve it. Well, I say here that our entire motivation for giving the gift of forgiveness is based upon our receiving God's gift of forgiveness. I've kind of said that already, but just to think in general, we wronged God, so he offered us forgiveness. And then others wrong us, so God calls us to offer them forgiveness. A very simple concept. What does the sinful world say? The sinful world says, no, don't proceed like that, rather get revenge. Even our own sinful natures say, hey, he did such and such to you, so it's only right that you take action now and do such and such to him. I mean, it's just a natural way for us to think as sinful human beings, but God wants us to know that we are different in Jesus Christ. And the way we respond, when we respond differently, that's when God opens people's eyes to see the love of God in Christ. If we take revenge, then they think we're like anybody else. But if they're expecting us to take revenge and we offer forgiveness, hey, that catches them off guard. And how they're thinking, hey, maybe there's something about this whole Christianity thing. Maybe that's somehow genuine, because there are so many hypocrites in the world that people think it's maybe not genuine. But let's show them, though, that God has really forgiven us and we are really extending forgiveness to others. Let me conclude with this thought. God has made us new in Christ, so he says, be who you are. We have the passage in 2 Corinthians 5 where it says, therefore, if any person is in Christ, He is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Even though we've all fallen into sin, we've all taken revenge, we've all done it the other way, let's rejoice that we are now forgiven, and let's be those new people that God has called us to be. And then how should we live? Well, thinking about another passage in that same chapter, it says, Jesus died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. So we shouldn't do what we want to do. We shouldn't do what our sinful nature is leading us to do, but rather we should do what Christ wants us to do, who gave his life for us. And what does the Bible say that we should do in that regard in connection with forgiveness? In Ephesians 4, the Bible says, forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Not an easy thing to do. We're always going to struggle with that, but may God help us to move in that direction more and more. Let us rejoice that we are forgiven in Christ, and then let us go forth throughout our lives to offer that same gift of full forgiveness to anyone and everyone who has ever sinned against us. And all God's people said, Amen.